Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, that's the way it's going today.
Gotta say, I am one of those people that is always a champion for the customer service people and understanding that sometimes, you know, you do all you can, but I gotta tell you, the two most worst companies in the world for customer service, AT&T and Comcast. Comcast, I hate you. I'm saying this on the air. It's recorded. I hate you.
I'm going to go with Time Warner as well, but I think they're pretty much hooked in with Comcast.
So. Yeah, same company. I hate these people.
Who's worst customer service ever.
Who is training these people at these who's training them? Who's saying it's okay to tell your customer there's nothing I can do for you? You should always.
Evil monkeys.
Good God. Oh, God, you should never tell your customer there's nothing I could do for you. Nothing, especially when it is your fault. You should be breaking your neck. Let me run it down for you people out there that don't understand what customer service means when you do a horrible job. That means people leave your company to go somewhere else, and you end up without a job. So you want to smile and tap dance, if you want to call it that, and be extra sweet and nice to all your customers, every single one that calls you, because it could mean your job. Especially in this day and age, because I'm about to Twitter this. Comcast, worst customer service ever.
I'm so going to like that. Yep, I'm going to repeat that.
Oh, the minute Verizon puts the fiber up in Houston, I'm so gone, Comcast. I'm over you.
So gone.
We're broken up. We're over. Oh, well, that's my morning, my Wednesday morning rant. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger. I'm Gory. I'm Gory.
And I am Ginger. Today, maybe.
And this is the Comcast Hate Hour. No, I'm kidding.
Mm-hmm. True story. We're going to pound on y'all. Of course, verbally, if we were men, I'm not actually going to hurt them.
Oh, of course you're going to hurt them. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so much love. So much love. Okay. So I have no news open, thanks to Comcast. So, Ginger, I'll let you jump in while I try to refresh all my pages. Really,
I will do that. All right. You Eve Online lovers, it looks like you have a new expansion out. Incursion 1.2 is now live.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm, love Eve Online.
Incursion 1.2 is deployed to Tranquility, the Eve Online server, continuing CCP's new content deployment strategy for smaller, more frequent content patches in order to deliver optimizations and features to players as soon as they are polished. Incursion 1.2 is the thematic successor to Incursion 1.0, which brought a host of changes with the prioritization help of the Council of Stellar Council of Stellar Management, a player-elected representative body of EVE's 350,000 pilots. A team dedicated EVE Online developers have declared war on hundreds of quality of life improvements and are working their way through them throughout the Incursion release cycle. Today's release addresses often requested optimizations, including enhancements for clones, and jump clones, market improvements, the return of character capturing in game, ooh, that sounds cool, and much more. A full list of improvements, improvements can be found here. All right, so what all is going on? CCP Zulo, EVE's online producer penned a producer's letter late last week contextualizing the new release paradigm, celebrating the success of Incursion and hinting at things to come, such as the later Incursion releases and the beginnings of the Incarna deployment. His dev blog can be found at, not going to give me a good link. I will try to find y'all one, though. So what else do we have? EVE FanFest 2011 looms large on the horizon. March 24th through the 27th in, I'm going to kill this name, Reykjavik in Iceland. Unprecedented access to developers, an event Space Dome in true Galanti style. The beauty of Iceland itself, a pride-crushing PvP tournament. thoughtful and inspiring roundtables, a glimpse into our crazed Viking visions of the future, and the party at the top of the world with FM Belfast, Book of Shade, and Roxor, the uber-talented CCP dev band. So that looks awesome. So it looks like you can find this information on Eve online. Of course, they also have a Facebook and a Twitter. So, you know, Twitter is going to be Eve Online. Facebook is, again, Eve Online. So that sounds pretty awesome. Congratulations, guys. That's been around for a while now.
Yeah, Eve Online is just as intricate and detailed as Fallen Earth. They were around before. The only thing that they were missing, I think they've added, and I haven't been back in to see, honestly, is a character where you can get out of your ship, because that's a big deal for us girls. I need to be able to see my character, not just a picture. I need to see my girl in her armor, or whatever it is she's wearing. And
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. I want it to look all nice.
Yeah, it ain't got to be skimpy. I just need to be able to see it.
Skimpy, we don't care so much for skimpy. We just want to make sure it's, you know, color-coordinated.
Yeah. Exactly. Because if you've been in Fallen Earth, you've never seen me. I got my Joker outfit.
She is styling.
My red coat, my purple pants.
So goofy-looking. Hers is hot.
My red tank top, my purple coat, my purple pants.
Mm-hmm.
I got me some new sneakers, too, girl. Anyway, I got to color them. I got to dye them. I got to learn how to dye things. Okay. Great armor they are. Sneakers are great armor. So, anyway. This is an announcement you're only going to hear from us because it's pertaining to us. And Ginger doesn't even know this because, you know, Comcast just ruined my whole big being able to tell her beforehand. So she gets to hear it along with the rest of you guys.
What is it?
We got some new giveaway coming.
Ooh, what are we giving away?
Magicka. So five of you lucky people out there are going to win a full copy of Magicka via Steam. Ah. But we will have to announce the details later because I need to confer with these lovely people to see what manner of torture we'll be putting you all through to get these codes. Anyway, speaking of torture, I found two very interesting stories today. I'm not going to do them back to back because I have to let Ginger talk so my voice can survive. Two, I talk a lot, in case y'all didn't know. That's why I have no voice. Never.
She does not know.
Yes, you know I talk a lot. Ginger's like, good God, let me get off.
I love it.
They say they love me, but the secret, they're like, put some tape over that girl's mouth. I am not offended. I talked early because I had a lot to say when I was born, okay? So anyway, let me see if I can get Ms. Lieberman's attention. Ms. Lieberman, pay attention. There's a study out that says violent video games do not desensitize players to violence. This comes from our friends at Game Politics. And let me repeat that again. Violent games do not desensitize players to violence. This is according to researchers at Ryerson University in Toronto, Canada. They're saying the study was led by Holly Bowen, who is a PhD candidate in psychology, not just some random person. The study was co-authored by psychology professor Julia Spaniel. The researchers examined the impact of chronic exposure to violent video games on emotional memory and responses to negative stimuli. Ms. Bowen is quoted as saying, emotional long-term memory helps us avoid negative situations. This has significant implications for public health. For example, if you remember the negative experience of being involved in a bar fight, you will avoid future situations that may lead to an altercation. The study involved 122 undergrad students, both male and female, who had some experience with video games in the last 6 months. So it was about 45 participants. And those who had no prior video game experience or exposure, 77 students. The male and female gamers claim familiarity with Grand Theft Auto, Final Fantasy, and NHL. Males also listed Call of Duty and Tekken among their top five favorite games, while female video gamers preferred Mario Kart and Guitar Hero or Rock Band. That is so not true, but maybe that group. I told you, I'm a game. I'm not going to use the word. It's daytime. Okay, so participants were shown 150 images representing three different stimuli, negative, positive, and neutral scenes. 1 hour later, the students viewed the same images again, along with a new set of 150 distractor images in random order. As each image was displayed, participants had to respond whether or not they had seen it before. Finally, at the end of the experiment, the students completed a self-assessment test regarding their state of emotional arousal. The researchers believed going into the study that game players are proved to be less sensitive to negative images and therefore show reduced memory for these materials. The results showed no difference in the memory of video game players and non-players. Exposure to video games were not associated with differences in self-reported arousal to emotional stimuli. Ms. Bowen is quoted as further saying, the findings indicate that long-term emotional memory is not affected by chronic exposure to violent video games. Now, you could go over and read the rest of the story, and please do comment at gamepolitics.com. Again, the title of the article there is Study Violent Video Games Do Not Desensitize Players to Violence, and tweet this over and over. Let's go up and post it on Ms. Lieberman's blog so that we can show her what's what. Apparently, she's a little, what was the word I was using yesterday for people that were not all there? A little frazzled. She's a little frazzled.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking the phrase that was used yesterday. But no, that's not.
All right, to dirt next while I sip with water. My throat is parched. I'm so parched, darling.
I know. All right, well, now that I've kind of wound down from the energy and anger we had going on in the beginning, maybe I can actually talk calmly and, you know, not stutter all over myself. All right, I am pulling this one. It's really short, from GamePolitics.com. Appeals court rules, no doubt lawsuit against Activision can proceed. Mm-hmm. Looks like they pulled this from the Los Angeles Times, but the LA Times is reporting that Activision has lost its bid to get a lawsuit filed by Ska Rockers, no doubt, thrown out. A three-judge panel rejected the company's motion to throw out the 2009 lawsuit that alleged breach of contract. The group contends that the breach occurred when Activision allowed players of Band Hero to use band members' avatars to perform songs they did not write. The band said in its lawsuit that this transformed No Doubt band members into a virtual karaoke circus act.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. In its appeal of the suit, Activision said that it was simply a matter of creative expression. The three-judge panel apparently disagreed. No Doubt can now proceed with its lawsuit. God, that was stupid, Activision.
That was stupid. That's stupid on both parts, actually. No Doubt, let me be blunt, without Gwen Stefani.
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt. You all know this, and this is probably going to push you further into obscurity. And I'm pretty much guessing Gwen's going to leave you there in obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Everybody needs to sometimes sit down and take a drink. Let's all go off to Comcast instead.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Comcast, y'all are evil.
Yeah. More studies, and I'm doing this. I have a theme today. a new study. Ms. Lieberman, I hope you're still paying attention. A new study also, the first of its kind, a clinical study by East Carolina University, has established efficacy of Bejeweled and other games reducing clinical depression and anxiety. East Carolina's University, Psychosociology Lab, good God, and Biofeedback Clinic today revealed the results of a year-long randomized control clinical study that measured the efficacy of so-called casual games, or CVGs as they've started calling them, in reducing symptoms of depression and anxiety as a comorbid condition. Nearly 60 subjects, half of whom served as controls, all meeting the criteria of clinical depression, participated in the study, which involved three family-friendly, nonviolent puzzle games, Bejeweled 2, Peggle, Bookworm Adventures, and all the games are made by PopCap Games, who is the underwriter of the study. Thank you, PopCap, for doing that. The hypothesis was tested using state-of-the-art technologies, including psychosociology, wow, biochemical and psychological measurements, and found an average reduction in depression symptoms of 57% in the experimental video game group. And the first such research ever to measure the efficacy of video games is reducing depression and anxiety, also found significant reduction in anxiety, as well as improvements in all aspects of mood. Let me repeat that. Improvements in all aspects of mood among study subjects who played the casual video games. So what does this tell you? What have we learned today, class?
Ms. Lieberman is full of crap.
Games, not bad. Games, good. Game, not affect people, not make them crazy. They were crazy before. You can find more about this study up on our site here in just a second. If I haven't already put it up, freaking Comcast. Oh, yes, it is already up. Thank you. freaking Comcast. You can find more about that study and a link to the website and a copy of any previous studies that they've done, because they've done more than just this one. They are also available on Twitter. They've got a ton of information here. I would say to our fellow journalists, get to writing, because we are, about this. We need to start putting this, get this more into the press so that we can get Ms. Lieberman to shut her mouth. Either that or I'm going to have to find her and put some duct tape over my mouth. Let me not say that because, you know, somebody out there is crazy enough to think I'm telling them to do it. I am not telling you to go put duct tape over that woman's mouth. I would like to have her on a stage, however, just me and her and two podiums. I'd happily take her on. Somebody make that. Somebody make that happen.
I wish I could, but from Game Politics, I don't know if you noticed, they did also link all of the fun stuff that she pulled this information from, or at least where she got her research for this outrageous claim. So that's also up on GamePolitics.com. I'm not even going to read all that crap because it's dumb. But if you want to, you know, if you're bored enough, if you want to laugh, if you want to, you know, go poke holes in her whole theory, all the stuff that she pulled that from is over on Game Politics right now. All right, so, All right, so I'm going to jump from, Ms. Fleiberman being dumb to a game that I'm not too sure about. Interactive YouTube game starring Dirty Jack, now online.
Dirty Jack.
After making a splash in the App Store with Bad Girl Dirty Dance, Witchcraft Studios, leading developer of Java, iOS, and Android applications from Poland, brings its flagship dating game series to YouTube. Dating games. Not too certain about that, people. An interactive video adaptation of Dirty Jack Love Fetish, one of the most recent installments in the Dirty Jack franchise, is available now free of charge. There's a YouTube link. Our titles often appeal to consumers who wouldn't necessarily call themselves gamers. You think anything was born in it? Says Basic Mosaic, CEO of Witchcraft Studios. Partly it's because we tell the kind of stories that can easier be found on TV or in a comedy film than in video games. More importantly, though, our products are available on devices of everyday use, such as mobile phones and tablets, as opposed to dedicated gaming hardware. Thanks to YouTube, we can reach an underserved audience craving for this type of interactive entertainment. Although YouTube edition of Dirty Jack Love Fetish is a complete game with three different endings and numerous story branches, some elements have been toned down compared to the original release. The mobile version is certainly spicier, said Piotr Kotecki, art director at Witchcraft Studios. However, the underlying humor, heart, and that unique Dirty Jack attitude remains the same across all versions. All right, so what is Dirty Jack? Dirty Jack is a series of hot interactive comics for mobile platforms. The player becomes a witty womanizer. Why is it always got to be womanizer? He captures the hearts of beautiful girls in various situations and places. Jack has sharpened his skills on a movie set, a cruise ship, an airplane, in dance clubs and bars, on exotic islands, and in snow-covered mountains. Each episode brings new surprising adventures. Choices made by the player leads to many different outcomes, and the exciting arcade sequences keep things sufficiently kinky. You may not want to be searching this website while you're at work. Thanks to enthralling stories and imaginative illustrations, the series gained immense popularity all over the world. Every game in the series is available in two editions, each roughly corresponding to the age of the players. One for players 18 and over, and another for younger fans.
Really?
I don't know about that. So anyway, some of you pervs are out there and y'all are, you know, all kinds of curious. You can head over to witchcraftstudios.com.
Wow.
This at work unless you really, really want to get fired or unless your boss is really, really awesome.
Oh, well. I'm, speechless. That doesn't happen often. Why didn't they just say for teenage boys? Why didn't they just say that? Because that's pretty much it. Oh, wow.
Teenage boys.
We did to teenage boys. Well, I'm going to move along because I'm really speechless about that. Let me tell you about a new web-based game, which looks kind of interesting. It's called wait a minute, Miwowie? Yeah, you can go look it up on our site. The name of the company that's putting it out is Trevian Games, and they're saying that they're you're contagious. They're launching additional.
I know. I don't know what it is. I was fine right before the show started, and then all of a sudden, like, it hits, and I'm tired, and I'm all kinds of foggy, and it's just horrible.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was my anger. And Comcast. Okay, so the name of the game is Wiwowie, and it's from, let me see what country. I like the countries. Oh, Munich. Hello, Munich. Hello?
Oh, sorry, I muted myself.
You muted yourself in the middle of speaking. I was like, what? Comcast again? Okay, so.
Oh, my bad. It's hump day, people.
Wow. Okay, so imagine that the summer lasts all year. Warm seawater is flowing around, half naked legs, male or female, whatever you like. And the perfect holiday resort is inviting guests to stay with its various animations, culinary delights, and cozy beds. Since Trevian Games' launch of Wiwowie in various territories and their upcoming release in even more countries, this is possible in the virtual world, played absolutely free of any cost in the browser of your choice. This award-winning hotel management and holiday simulation has just been released with its latest update in France and the Czech Republic, making the game even more accessible and fun to play. The player's goal in Wiwowie... I'm going to need y'all to get a new name, is to build a popular and successful hotel or vacation resort of his or her own. They didn't put that in, but I imagine, liking to satisfy solvent visitors and to let them have the vacation of their life. The game is filled with possibilities, and even experienced strategy gamers are ambitious to compete for the top positions in the score ranking. This goal remains exciting and challenging, not only because small changes can have a strong effect on one's success, but also because you can share your success on various social networks or compare your hotel to your competitors and friends' resorts. I am so going to be playing this today. You can find this up on our site, along with some screenshots. Don't say it, Ginger. I gotta do it. It's a simulator. You know I'm about some simulator. It better be.
Oh, I'm gonna lose her.
I multitask well. You won't lose me. I tend to do three games. I think my limit is about three games.
Yeah, I saw your post on Facebook last night about Carmen San Diego.
Oh man, I lost my criminal. Oh. But I started a vendetta against him. I caught him in the end. He went down. In case you guys weren't aware, two of my all-time favorite games, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and Oregon Trail is on Facebook. They're surprisingly good for Facebook games. Surprisingly good. Anyway, so this one I'm adding to my repertoire. Yeah.
To your repertoire.
Go, Ginger.
Okay, all right. Oh, we're on a roll today. Okay, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood leads with 7 BAFTA nominations. Call of Duty Black Ops and Heavy Rain each garner 6 nominations. Mass Effect 2 follows with 5. Limbo and Super Mario Galaxy 2 with 4. The Academy today announced the nominations for the Game British Academy Video Games Awards. 44 different games have been recognized, and together they represent some of the most popular, innovative, and cutting-edge creativity in today's gaming industry. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Call of Duty Black Ops are both nominated for action, artistic achievement, multiplayer, technical innovation, and use of audio. In addition, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is nominated for the best game and gameplay. Call of Duty 2 Black Ops got the nod for story. Heavy Rain and Mass Effect 2 received nominations for Artistic Achievement, Best Game, Gameplay, Original Music, Story, and Heavy Rain got its 6th nod for Technical Innovation. Limbo is nominated for Artistic Achievement and Use of Audio. Super Mario Galaxy 2 received nominations for Technical Innovation and Original Music, and both games are also nominated for Best Game and Gameplay. Alan Wake, Battlefield, Bad Company 2, God of War 3, and Halo Reach all have 3 nominations: Bioshock 2, Fallout New Vegas, FIFA 11, Connectimals, Lego Harry Potter, Years 1 through 4, and StarCraft 2, Wings of Liberty also received 2. This year's new social network game category garnered nominations for the following games: Bejeweled Blitz, Farmerama, FIFA Superstars, My Empire, Zoo Moomba, and Zuma Blitz. Other nominated games also include Civilization 5, Cut the Rope, Central, DJ Hero 2, F1 2010. Is that Final Fantasy? I don't know what that is. I don't know. I have no idea. What is F1? F1 2010. Anyways, Fable 3, FIFA Manager 11, Football Manager 2011, God of War, Ghost of Sparta, Gran Turismo 5, International Cricket 2010, James Bond 007, Bloodstone, Kinect Adventures, Kinect Sports, Napoleon Total War, Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, Plants vs. Zombies, XBLA, Pro Evolution, Soccer 2011, Professor Layton and the Lost Future, Sonic Colors, Super Scribble Knots, and Toy Story 3.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. This year's awards will also include the publicly voted categories, the Game Award of 2010. The shortlist was compiled by a panel of gaming journalists and enthusiasts and comprises of Call of Duty Black Ops, Dance Central, FIFA 11, Halo Reach, Heavy Rain, Limbo, Mass Effect 2, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, Red Dead Redemption, and Super Mario Galaxy 2. So you want to know where you can go vote? You can head over to BAFTA, B-A-F-T-A, GameAward.com.
And do go vote. And don't just make it Call of Duty. Some other games are good, too. Well, this next one makes me excited. And we're talking about doing a little girl gamer section. So this would be one of the things we would most likely put as our top story when we get a better contact over at the Leapfrog People. However, I do have this. Mamas and daddies, gamers, pay attention. You're saying, I am such a geeky mom or dad, I want to get my kid an iPad, but it's too expensive. Guess what? Leapfrog is announcing LeapPad Explorer, a new breakthrough learning tablet built just for kids. Amazing, right? Okay, so they've announced today a multifunctional learning tablet that ushers in the next generation of learning, digital reading, and personal creativity for children ages 4 and up. Available beginning summer 2011 in global English markets, LeapPad Explorer builds off of the success of 2010's Educational Toy of the Year Award winner, Leapster Explorer, and is designed to change the way kids learn and play. The LeapPad Explorer is just like an adult tablet, but with endless fun experiences for the little ones. It's housed in a durable package, and any of you out there that have little ones know their LeapPad products are the only thing that's akin to a Nintendo product. They are virtually unbreakable. You can do whatever you want to it, short of running over it with a car, taking a sledgehammer to it. It's not going to break. The new device combines the latest technology, educational curriculum, and entertainment properties. Let me get a price for you, because there's a ton of things they're saying on there, and we're about to have to take a break here. Price. Okay, so again, available this summer. The MSRP is going to start at $99 with downloadable applications priced at around $750 and up each. The game cartridges, of course, will be at about $24.99. The LeapPad Explorer will be available at Leapfrog.com and at major retailers in the U.S., Canada, U.K., Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Hong Kong, Singapore, Philippines, Korea, and Thailand.
That's a lot of places.
Yes, that's called worldwide domination right there. The purchases at leapfrog.com will only be available to us here in the U.S. and Canada. But I love their products. They are unbreakable. I kid you not. Those little cameras they make for them, and they do have digital cameras that plug into the PC, you know, just like ours do. Man, I've watched the kids throw them. Step on them, throw them up against trees, drop them on concrete, water, juice, they are indestructible. And I'll even go so far as to tell you parents this little secret I learned Christmas time buying presents for the little ones. If you go to Toys R Us and get one, they will actually give you insurance, meaning if it does break by some fluke, they will replace it for free. So that's a good thing to know. Anyway.
That is awesome.
We got to get us a little girl gamer, a little baby Natrix section.
Baby Natrix.
I like it. Let's do it.
Yes, let's do it.
Oh, we got to take a break.
Yay, break time.
What am I going to
get? Pizza.
I don't know who got your pizza, baby, but I'm going to give the listeners a little bit of this. This is going out to you. Where's my guy on Twitter? Vector Parcel. This one is going out to you with love from Gamer Girls Radio.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered, not to fight too many. We'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick.
I hope he's not dancing at work and getting in trouble.
Okay, guys, I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered, not to fight too many. We'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick.
Wait.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God,
I want to hear you yelling.
Wow. You know what's bad? What's bad is if I still worked in a traditional office, I would do this. I would jump up and scream Leroy Jenkins and run off down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to cut that off. I had a flash of myself doing that, running down the... I used to work in a legal office, which is really would have been really hilarious if we'd had attorneys in that day. And I run down the hall, Leroy Jenkins. Some of them, you know, were wow heads.
Awesome.
But some of them are wow heads. They would have been like, oh, yes, come on, let's do it again. Lawyers are fun.
You mean lawyers play wow? No.
Yes, they do. Lawyers are fun. Sometimes they get a bad rap, but they're pretty fun people. You know what makes it fun is you see them in some of the lawyers I work with anyway, with all their designer suits, and they would be doing some crazy stuff with those suits on. Okay, stuff you don't expect to see lawyers doing. Handstands in the hallway, dancing, all that kind of business.
That's hilarious.
If I was making that kind of money, I'd be crazy too. Anyway, it's your turn, Ginger. I got to go sign up for WeWow while you talk.
It's my turn.
It's your turn while I sign up for this WeWowie, whatever. I don't care what its name is. I just want to play. Ooh.
All right. Okay, so people were hoping for StarCraft Ghost. Well, doesn't look like it's going to happen. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Blizzard explains cancellation of StarCraft Ghost. During a panel last week at the Innovate Create Explore Summit, Blizzard frontman Mike Morhaime explained exactly what happened to StarCraft Ghost. Apparently, as Blizzard was developing its first MMO, World of Warcraft, and StarCraft II, the company had to make, a couple hard decisions. They had to figure out where they wanted to put their money. Well, they bet good. They bet on World of Warcraft and StarCraft II, which has brought them in a buttload. Which led to the cancellation of the action game based loosely on its popular RTS series. Mike Morhaime said during the panel, "We have to choose. We can't do everything. Our vision for what's possible directs that. We like complex games and we like casual games." They were working on StarCraft Ghost the same time we were working on World of Warcraft and StarCraft II. World of Warcraft exploded and we needed to make some resource decisions. It just wasn't an environment in which a project like StarCraft Ghost could succeed. So, that seems to be what happened to your StarCraft Ghost. Sorry, StarCraft lovers.
Oh, boo.
Thank you for taking one for the team. I've had much fun playing my hunter.
Boo. I used to have boos, but I don't know what happened to them on the panel.
She lost them.
So I'll just do it for you. Boo. Or better yet, we'll do this one.
Oh.
Sorry. StarCraft lost me a long time ago. Sorry, Well, this was an interesting story that actually came out yesterday. And I always like to mention it because, I will not lie. I have done a little bit of this myself, but I do go back and buy what I take. Some of you don't. However, some of you people overseas, bad. The ESA is saying 54% of illegal file shares come from 5 countries. And this one time, the U.S. is not one of them, thank God. The video game industry trade group, the Entertainment Software Association, claims that 54% of all illegal file shares come from 5 nations on the International Intellectual Property Alliance's watch list. These countries include Italy, Spain, China, Brazil, and France. The group cites a special 301 report, but together, put together by the IIPA. The ESA is a member of that same group. The ESA president and CEO, Michael Gallagher, is quoted as saying, "Our industry continues to grow in the U.S., but epidemic levels of online piracy stunt sales and growth in a number of countries, including, excuse me, Italy, China, Spain, Brazil, and France, where we see crushing volumes of infringing peer-to-peer activity in, involving leading game titles, said ESA President and CEO Michael Gallagher, which I've already said that. The IIPA recommends that the U.S. trade representatives add 33 countries on a watch list of nations that have yet to take real measure to deal with copyright infringement and do not provide a pipeline for creators to bring their works to market illegally. And if you heard that little jinx noise, sorry, that's on the leapfrog site. I went to go check out the bed. It's a gadget. Kitty gadget, but it's a gadget. I want to see what it does. Okay, so along with the rest of the IIPA's membership, the ESA is asking that the USTR put Spain on a priority watch list. God, what are they doing in Spain? The group claims that tax policies in Spain have created a culture where piracy is acceptable. The USTR created the priority watch list back in May of 2010. The first list contained 11 countries, including Canada and China. There is a secondary list for countries whose infringement activity is slightly less troublesome. The ESA is currently claiming that its members reported more than 144 million connections involved in peer-to-peer game file sharing. The top five countries accounted for 78 million of these. Wow. Yes, it says that this activity is five times the number attributed to U.S. servers. For once, we are being the good ones. Game publishers lose opportunities to export sales, and the U.S. loses opportunities to expand our export economy, and consumers in these countries lose local benefits of having a thriving game market. You can find more about this story either on GamePolitics.com or where they pulled it from over at GameOfSutra.com. People. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I got to say is I understand we live in a recession. Sometimes times are hard. You need to borrow the game. But when you get the money, go buy it. People's jobs are on the line is all I'm saying. Again, I understand you need to play, but don't just be a sneak thief. Go and buy it. Pay for it later. I'm not saying I'm above you. I have done it once or twice. Actually, I did it on accident one time, and I know you're saying, how the hell do you do it on accident? It was an accident, but I immediately went and bought the game for download. So you could help out your fellow developers. I have love for my industry. I don't want to see what happened to Activision happen to anybody else, so I happily buy it. Happily.
Yep, yep.
I bitch about the price, but I'll pay for it. I bitch because I'm paying for it, ha.
Oh, well, I've actually got some sad industry news. Bizarre Creations closing February 18th.
See?
Mm-hmm. According to Develop, I'm pulling this from Game Politics, by the way, Bizarre Creations will close on Friday, February 18th. The Liverpool, UK-based studio was founded in 1994 and created over 20 games, including Formula One, 97 Metropolis Street Racer for Dreamcast, several Project Gotham Racing 1-4, Geometry Wars, The Club, and Blur. In 2007, the studio lost its independence when it was acquired by Activision. And a forum post on the developer's website, which is no longer available. At the time, Bizarre staff members described Activision's buyout optimistically. Bizarre isn't a developer in financial trouble, and we're certainly not looking to be saved by a bigger corporation, the post read. We're a dev looking to take our games to the next level and make the absolute best products we can possibly make. Likewise, Activision is not in the business of buying out struggling developers either. The staff posting went on to say that Bizarre would maintain creative control. The first game produced under Activision was Blur, but bad release timing, BlackRock Studios Split Second and Rockstar's Red Dead Redemption were released around the same time.
Oh, juggernaut.
Game sales. While Blur was not Bizarre's last game under Activision's watchful eye, it certainly marked the beginning of the company's decline as a successful studio. In November 2010, Activision announced that it was trying to sell the studio, but no clear buyer ever materialized. As the studio's future hung in the balance, the video game industry opted to pick off the company's 200 developers instead of saving Bizarre, because hiring away developers was a cheaper option. Earlier this year, the company announced that it had accepted Activision's recommendation that the studio should be closed.
Ouch. That is horrible to hear.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I hope all of the devs and everybody, I hope everybody got picked up. I hope there's nobody actually out of a job.
And I heard that Blur was actually a damn good game, and I've been eyeing it, saying I need to pick it up. See, people?
That's what we get for waiting.
Mm-hmm. See, you want to pick up the bad games and give those the love. Give the good games some love so that we have some innovation. Okay, speaking of innovation, Zum Zum by HeroCraft wins App of the Year on the Nokia platform at the 2011 GSMA Global Mobile Awards Competition. Global Mobile. The compelling arcade puzzle game Zum Zum from developers at HeroCraft today picked up App of the Year. The GSMA Global Mobile Awards has been honoring excellence and innovation in mobile communications and highlighting the most innovative mobile solutions and initiatives from around the world since 1996. That long. Wow. They're quoted as saying, "We're delighted to be shortlisted for this award and even more delighted when it was announced that we'd won App of the Year on the Nokia platform," said HeroCraft Sales and Marketing Director Alexey Snosnov as he picked up the award in Barcelona. He said, "We've always been strong backers of the Nokia OVI platform and our hard work and diligence has paid off with strong download figures and now recognition from within the industry. This last 12 months has seen a huge rise in interest in apps for mobile devices, and this is the first year that games have had to fight for awards against a whole host of apps offering countless utilities to the smartphone user." You can see a full list of winners on their website, which I believe is up on our website. You can find a link directly there. Or you can pop over to ZumZum's webpage, which is herocraft.com/en/games/ZumZum. I was trying to avoid that very long link.
I know, people, shorter links. Shorter links.
Yeah, that's what Bitly for. Bitly or something. Do it.
Something, yeah.
But you can go check that out. Amazing. That is up on our site. You see, Comcast has me all kind of turned around today. I hate you, Comcast. I hate you.
All kinds of turned around today.
Hate you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've been talking a lot about the Gamers Edition of Guinness World Records. Well, today there is a press release for the top 50 video game characters of all time.
Sorry, Ginger.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Okay. All right, so the Guinness World Records, the global authority on record breaking, announces the top 50 video game characters of all time in the latest edition of their best-selling gaming book, Guinness World Records 2011. Gamers Edition, over 13,000 readers voted for their favorite character, and the end result is a who's who of the top heroes and villains from more than 30 years of video game history. Unsurprisingly, it was Nintendo's Mario who was crowned the people's favorite video game character. The little plumber who made his debut as Jumpman in the 1981 arcade smash Donkey Kong received over 10% of the vote. Another Nintendo stalwart, Link, from The Legend of Zelda, finished runner-up, followed by the mysterious Super Soldier Master Chief from Halo video game series.
Hell yes.
Swoon. Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Several omissions are sure to cause a stir. Mario's younger brother Luigi fails to make the top 50, as does Mortal Kombat's spear-tossing legend Scorpion, BioShock's terrifying Big Daddies, and the lovable Lemmings. Despite the questionable quality of recent Sonic the Hedgehog titles, the Little Blue Hedgehog still managed to make the top 10, along with other video game icons, including Pac-Man, Final Fantasy VII Cloud Strife, and Tomb Raider's Lara Croft. The most popular publisher is Nintendo with 11 characters in the top 50. In second place, Sony with 5 characters, and third comes Capcom with 5. The best year for great characters was 1996, with 5 familiar faces on our top 50, making the first gaming appearance in that year, including Lara Croft and Pikachu.
Pikachu, really?
Mm-hmm. Gaz Deves, Guinness World Records gaming editor, says the world has seen so many pivotal characters throughout the history of gaming that asking our readers to narrow it down to just 50 was a challenge in itself. Some of the choices on the list are obvious, some less so, but it's sure to get gamers talking about their favorites. All right, to celebrate the release of the top 50 video game characters of all time, Guinness World Records has released an application on their Facebook page, which allows you to find out what video game character you most identify with. The application uses a multiple-choice questionnaire format to quiz the visitor on their personality type before making a final recommendation. Are you more Larry Laffer or Duke Nukem? Find out here. Facebook.com/Guinness World Records.
Lynx Woman, that's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Lynx Woman. That's exactly who Corey is.
That's the character in the new upcoming Legend of Zelda, Lynx Woman. No, it is not Princess Zelda. Trollop, stealing my man. Okay. So it's about that time for Ginger and I to cut out. And I got some Wee Wowie to play, so I got to go. I got some naps. She got some napping to do. Remember, you can find this and other news over at our website, GamerNatrix.com, or you can go to GamerGirlsRadio.com, look for the Lunch with Ginger and Corey link, and it is still fixed. Yes, Ginger? Yes?
No.
She's starting to cut
not
me.
Not so much.
I'm working on it.
It works about once every five tries.
Sucks. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, keep an eye out for our Magicka giveaway. We will be announcing that hopefully by Friday once we decide the method of torture. I mean, no, you do not get to pick your own torture.
Oh, why not?
Because no.
Oh, okay.
Let me give you all a little bit of this.
No, oh, no, no. Oh, no, Ms. Lieberman, you did.
Yo, yo, yo. Oh, no, you did. Sucker tried to play me,
we'll see you guys. Yes. Oh, no, you didn't, Comcast. Yes, that's who this is for.
Payback is a coming.
Payback is a coming, Comcast.
Forever. Oh, no, you did. Until I get my vengeance, I will never
see you guys bright and early tomorrow.
Oh, no, you did. I'm a mercenary. You ain't got a prayer. You owe me. Oh, no, you did. Oh, no, you did. Oh, no, you did.